Hello, Lifebook members from around the world, and thank you for tuning in to this month's Life Note for Life Vision Month, moving you one book closer to a 12-category smart life. I'm your host, Jordan River, and today's Life Note is Your Power to Create, From Wishful Thinking to True Manifestation, by Carolyn Mace. Summarized by Lene Lightfoot. As always, let's begin with a quote. The power to create, it is a constant force in motion. It is not about waiting till it's big, huge things that you want. It's a living discipline that is always in motion. It's a living wheel that is never not in motion. Core concept. Our power to create is one of the highest alchemical spiritual principles that can be activated in the soul. Too often, though, we reduce this power to a game of magical thinking, attempting to manifest things that we think we want out of greed. Or we turn that power over to someone else. When we look at our personal journeys in the context of the history of spiritual revolution, we can see that the power to create is drawn from listening to the call to activate this power, not only on behalf of our own healing, but for others. Today we'll explore big thoughts like, we already create our lives, it's happening and always has been. Magical thinking and rights. Changing your perception changes everything. The power to create rests in the ability to perceive. And evolving, moving from victim consciousness to life creation. So let's jump into the first big thought of today's Life Note. We all already create our lives. That's happening, though we haven't always recognized this. Quote, when we talk about having the power to create, we have to really unravel this thread and understand it deeply, because we're talking about something that is a huge divine principle that we've taken and reduced to an egocentric, I want this, end quote. When the holistic health movement began, we thought illness came from negativity and the antidote was positivity. We thought that in shaming ourselves for our illnesses, we could ask God to reward us by healing us. This is not the power to create. Instead, this taps into a primal way we have of contracting the gods at an almost reptilian level. When we first begin to realize this power as a culture, we reduced it to magical thinking and primal rights. In the first part of this talk, Mace describes the history of the holistic health and New Age spirituality movements as she's understood and experienced them. By tracing the decades since the power to create became animated, she wants to show the listener how big this power is, and also how misrecognized and misused it can be. Evolution itself is a huge force that involves mechanics and rules, at the levels of galaxies, planets, cosmic cycles, and here on Earth with the tiny species called humans. There is a cycle of perception that evolves along with our species, an evolution to the art of perception. The birth of Israel, of Buddha, of Copernicus, and Galileo. These are major shifts in our capacity to perceive. You are the way you are because someone before you experienced a leap forward in understanding the logic and order of the world and of God. Each time, people create God in their own image, imagining God's mind works like ours do. Then, in a subsequent generation, others perceive that the logic of the universe is beyond what was previously imagined. So when we split the atom, we entered a new era. An archetypal pattern was initiated. The perception that we have the power to create was downloaded into us, coming in through the collective seventh chakra. The 60s became the decade of sexual, racial, and religious revolution. We knew we could change everything. But this knowledge entered our consciousness with the attempt to destroy life. As the knowledge was downloaded, it entered the sixth chakra and the unconscious blew open, revealing the world of our interior lives. Drugs and rock and roll and Alice Through the Looking Glass and the psyche, we'd entered the quantum world of the soul. In the 70s, this transformed into involution, into explorations of spirituality. In the 80s, another transformation came. Narcissism. We created a reality where healing could be bought and sold. We lost track of the soul and got frozen in the narcissism of our new knowledge of our power. Even the deaths we imagined in our past life regressions were vain, glamorous deaths. And spiritual healing turned to Botox and facelifts. The power struggles of the 80s, globally, arose from this. But this narcissistic stage was necessary. This self-absorption is necessary to the loneliness of growth. Yet it is also so tempting to get stuck there. Culturally, the United States got stuck there, and our spiritual movements reflect this. As change enters the fifth chakra, we realize that others don't have power over us. This makes others nervous. It makes us nervous. We can feel the ground shifting beneath the very fiber of our relationships. But we fear moving forward into full creation because of this old idea from Catholicism that spiritual service means poverty. So we stay stuck in the me narcissism, our own personal 1980s. The 90s should have been the decade of evolution, and our time now should be the time of mysticism. But so many of us are stuck in the 1980s. Magical thinking and rites can be a reduction of our power to create. Quote, "You do have a profound power inside of you. Make no mistake. But you have to understand what it isn't before you know what it is. By going after what it isn't, you create your own suffering. You create your own hell." End quote. If you want it to be easy to create your own reality, to attract your soulmate by putting the right trinket under your pillow, for example, you're building a hell for yourself. When we hope for it to be easy, we're creating God in our own image. As if God works by the logic that we do. If I ask someone for this, and I'm good, they'll give it to me. Instead, owning the power to create is an evolutionary calling to listen ahead to the next stage of perception and embrace the alchemical principle that we have authority in our own reality. This is an entirely different thing than trying to manifest material things, human love, or even physical healing by trying to please the gods. Changing your perception changes everything. Quote, "When it comes to the fear of your own changing and shifting power, what really scares you is that people will not need you." End quote. The realization that you create your life is a vulnerable moment. When you accept that power, you might sever your ties with the old ways of perceiving and relating. You're growing your soul. It's not easy. It actually feels like a new kind of suffering. Historically, mystics write about suffering, about being whipped, persecuted, and this is what you fear. When you choose something, you put yourself on the line. You're creating a reality base that cannot be shared, perceiving what others cannot perceive and being isolated as a result. And this is terrifying. Embracing your power to create is lonely. Quote, "When you say you have the power to create, you have to understand that people around you are rarely going to support you in this, and you are rarely going to support them. You are your priority, and they are their priority, and you cannot expect to be anyone else's priority." End quote. When you change at the spiritual level, you change the lives of those around you. Why would others be cooperative? And when they change their reality, it will affect you. It is intimidating. We are intimidated by the power of others, and that's why there are power struggles in the world. When we begin to realize that everything is an illusion, that might include our husband. On the other hand, his realization might mean you are an illusion too. This is why we need narcissism, to develop the stamina to take higher guidance and hold on to it no matter how others challenge you, to stand within the guidance from your own inner world. Most of us get in battleground power plays and stay there, rehearsing the damage of our childhoods in fights about me. We organize our lives around healing wounds, as if healing is a crime scene. Who did this to me? We do this rather than achieving transcendent narcissism, in which we no longer need to blame our pain on others. Mystical narcissism. It is time to grow into a mystical union with the divine. Quote, "In fact, creation is a power that is in our hands." End quote. How do we become mystical narcissists rather than the kind of earthly narcissists who are obsessed with human attention and material goods? This is a matter of the right use of the soul. The real question is this: how do we use the presence of our soul here on earth? That is the common task. What will you do with the gift of life? And will you listen to instructions when given to you? Narcissism is your sense of self-awareness and self-focus, a necessary phase a person goes through as the ego cracks open. An earthly, stuff-focused narcissist fights. Bring it on. But a mystical narcissist goes quiet. She asks God, "What do you want me to do?" She listens to the answer. The answer is, speak up right now. Defend that person. Stand next to that person. Mystical narcissism is a mystical shield to do the hard work. It is that deep, rich sense of self. You know where you are with God, but you don't have to let others know. You don't need to bring your own spiritual experiences outside of the castle. That would be a violation. You don't fear you're crazy or that others will say you are. Your sense of discernment is crystal clear. Your centered relationship with God is built upon faith and fearlessness so that you don't fear guidance. And the point becomes not to defeat others in a power play, but to remain undefeated. This is development of your inner compass. If you do not have it, you spend your life lost on this earth. Embracing our true power to create takes discipline. Quote, "Your power to create, to really, really have it, means that you fully accept the consciousness of your intuitive data." End quote. When you're becoming ill, you are getting signals that you're losing power. When your relationships or career become difficult, it's been a gradual change. And you have known it all along. There have been signs. The power to create comes from your skill at paying attention to the information you're getting and actually acting on it. This takes ferocious iron discipline. It means doing what it takes rather than turning from the difficult changes in your illness, relationships, or career demanding of you. It means doing what it takes rather than turning from the difficult change that your illness, relationship, or career is demanding of you. It means becoming exactly like a warrior. It means if there is a skill to learn, learning it. It means developing the willingness to do what is required to manage the demands of a certain kind of power and its counterpart, perception. We wish the power to create didn't cost us. We want a God to change the world around us and everyone around us without costing us. This is why, when we glimpse the spiritual, profound truth that we have the power to create, it sometimes doesn't work for us. To employ that power takes discipline. To destroy a disease takes long focus. It means staying awake. We have trouble staying awake for even 15 minutes. The power to create begins in perception. When it comes to health, soulmates, money, and everything we wish to manifest, we tend to play games. We believe that we will be rewarded for good spiritual behavior. But in fact, these are earthbound dynamics. Instead, we must begin by getting to know ourselves and working with our intuitive systems. When you feel the need for change, you have to siphon through the chaos to listen to what your intuition is telling you about what really happened. It may sound like an annoying voice in your mind, but it's deep, profound soul guidance. You want to turn away, but instead, clear the decks. Really listen and ask, "What do you want?" Listen and then language it. Put words to it. Say yes. There is a compass above you. When you put words to it, the compass starts rattling. The arrow on the compass begins to move. By languaging, you're starting energy moving into motion. This begins the revolution. Then, wait for your saboteur, because the moment that you begin to speak what you imagine, the saboteur will come. Rather than faltering, you act. Don't wait until it's a disease. When you get the hint, act, and again, and again. Language what you want, and say yes. Evolving, moving from victim consciousness to life creation. Yes, the wounds. But what about now, in the future? What is the rest of your life? And why? If you're trying to create a reality designed to impress others, you'll always be disappointed. You'll never get enough attention to satisfy yourself. But finally, you will say, "I'm done with the lower altitudes." You begin to ascend, and you get on with the business of cooperating with the divine. You accept your mystical shield and follow the instructions. That's how you begin to create. You hold on to your wonderful, mystical, egocentric mania. You will go on. We are in a time of revelation now, where we can move together toward being more of service to one another. Every day, our world disintegrates more and more. We haven't paid attention to what it takes to manage freedom. and it won't happen on its own. But throughout history, when great horrors visit us, great truths do as well. It is the end of an era for the United States, but also a time of global mysticism, when we can use the powers of creation for others, not just for ourselves. Thank you for tuning in today for Life Vision Month. I hope you found this life note to be powerful and inspiring, and I look forward to serving you over the coming year of 2020 across all 12 categories. Best of luck to you, Lifebook members, as you craft your life vision out there. This is Jordan River signing off, wishing you an extraordinary day. We'll see you next time, Lifebook members. Bye-bye.